right, well, this is Matt.
This is Sean.
And this is Mike, and you're listening to Ranks for Nothing. This is going to be our weekly roundup episode. We're going to be talking about just random stuff we've been watching and listening to for the past week or so. And have you guys been watching Always Sunny episodes, the new season at all? Season,
I have.
I guess it's 12 now.
That's yeah. 12.
Yeah, it's crazy. I thought it was season 11, but I guess not.
Yeah, well, one of those seasons wasn't so great, so people forget about it.
Yeah,
I think 7's on Netflix right now.
They're all up until season 11 or on Netflix.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The only one that's not is the newest one.
Yeah.
The season that's running currently.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I watched the first two episodes so far.
Yeah.
Probably got around to it last week or this past week. The first episode was when they, it's like a quantum leap episode where they become black.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Pretty good.
Okay.
I never seen Quantum Leap before. I had no idea that Scott Bakula was in it. I didn't know really the concept at all of it at all. And I was like, oh, that's pretty funny. They kind of connected the two.
But, yeah.
I kind of want to makes me go watch some of the show, the old school show with him in it. Yeah. I thought it was a movie. Apparently it was a show.
I would assume that's streaming somewhere.
I think it is on Netflix actually. Or like maybe Hulu or some shit. Yeah.
I was going to say, you could probably even find it on YouTube or some shit.
That's true too.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that he was in it. I thought it was a movie. Is there a movie? It's just a show.
I feel like there might be.
I thought there was too.
I have no idea.
Maybe for TV movie, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was never like I've seen a couple episodes, but I never really followed it a whole lot. So I don't know too much about it other than the basic premise.
Yeah. It kind of threw me off that it was a show because I was looking into it and like every episode is like he's something different. I'm like, I feel like that's kind of fucking. That's a good movie premises, but I feel like for a show, it'd be kind of like boring.
Yeah, I feel like especially like, back then. Well, I don't think that's boring. I think that's
repetitive or something. Yeah.
The way that TV kind of aired back then would be a little weird. You know what I mean?
That's true, too, because it was like 89 to like it lasted like 6 years or something or 3 years.
Yeah. Like, I feel like if that was like a modern day show, like if it was on Netflix or, you know, something where it like did all at once, like it would almost have like a Black Mirror feel to it where it would be a little bit different every episode.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm. But you can kind of pick and choose and kind of follow. And I could see it being not more successful because, I mean, it stuck around for six seasons, so it wasn't like a fucking flop.
Good.
But
yeah.
Turd.
Yeah, fucking giant bucket of turds.
Like a bucket full of assholes.
Or Quantum Leap.
But that black episode was funny. It
was pretty good.
They seem to be doing that a lot this season. I've seen probably up to like season like, episode.
Like musical stuff?
Not necessarily musical stuff, but I think I've seen, I don't know, maybe like seven or eight episodes, eight episodes, I think.
Yeah, I think up to
maybe
seven.
I've seen them all. Yeah, maybe I've seen them all. I think I have seen them all, except for like the
up whatever, to current
one that's
at least.
Yeah. But they all seem to kind of have like a throwback theme where it's either like a TV show or there's like kind of like spoofing kind of TV or movie like tropes and stuff like that.
Yeah, they did that last season a little bit too.
Yeah. I feel like they're going a little bit more all in on it this year. Like everything kind of like is a throwback to some sort of like piece of cinema or like
some sort of theme or
something like that,
yeah.
which is kind of neat. Like you said you saw the water park one too.
Yeah.
That was one of the better ones this season. That was ridiculous.
Yeah, it seems like it. Yeah, that was just like a solid, straight, like old school type episode.
Yeah.
It just and went and of, did like, something cool. And shit happened. Yeah.
Yeah, and there's a lot of cool things in it. Like there's like weaving like storylines that all kind of came together. Like the writing on that was really neat.
Yeah, like with the little girl and Dennis at the park. That was pretty funny.
Yeah,
and just how like, Frank and Charlie kind of, the way that their story kind of weaves within everybody.
Just
fucking ridiculous.
Using that flash pass. Or I should say
AIDS. Full blown AIDS.
They made pool scene where he like goes down the dry slide so gnarly looking.
Oh, so
that shit
brutal.
Looks super real.
so gross.
Oh, God.
So gross.
But yeah, I've only watched those two so far, but it was pretty good.
Yeah.
I'll probably watch the rest of them like in the next couple days or so.
Yeah, this whole season's been good. Last season was really solid too. I feel like the last couple seasons have been pretty solid.
Yeah. I think ever since like the Mac got fat season, It got a little better. That kind of spiked it. And then the season after that was like so-so. And then I think that was like 8 and 9, I think.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
But after that, it's got pretty good. Man.
Yeah. Oh, man. So I watched that. I watched a little bit of that Z Nation show.
Yeah. What do you think?
I watched the first like 4 episodes, I think.
It's almost the whole season. Yeah. I think it's only like...
How many?
The first season, I think there's only 6 episodes.
Oh, shit. Oh. I didn't realize that.
Maybe not. Maybe I can't remember. But I'm pretty sure that's right. Maybe 8 or something like that. But either way,
that would seem a little bit more reasonable.
Are they half-hour episodes or hours? 1 hour.
They're hour.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They're like 40 minutes or so when you watch it on Netflix.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it was interesting. I didn't know this going in, like, after I was watching it. It's pretty ridiculous, like, especially compared to...
Oh, totally.
Like, The Walking Dead. Like, it's completely ridiculous, like, over-the-top
effects
type of stuff.
Yes, it's super, an old, like, 80s, like, Return of the Living Dead. That's the one that came out in the 80s, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, there's
one of them. Like, off the wall one. Yeah. It's definitely kind of partakes off of that. Yeah,
yeah. It's super, like, campy and cheesy. Like, the acting's pretty bad, but it's in that, like, kind of ham fisted way, you know?
Yeah. So they're going for
it. Yeah, it's almost like it's kind of on purpose, but at the same time, it's, I don't know, it's not really, like, huge.
The editing is, like, kind of forced and aggressive in some scenes, like, even when it's, like, not warranted to be, like, aggressively edited. And, like, weird. Like, it's, like, I don't know if it's, like, trying to be, like, edgy or, like, something, like, weird, but, yeah, it's just, like, and then, so after I was watching it, I was looking into, like, just, I was on IMDb, and then I noticed that the production company, The Asylum, made it. I don't know if you guys are familiar with The Asylum. But they're the people that make like all those Mockbusters, like when Transformers came out, they made a fake version called Transmorphers.
Oh, like the sci-fi channel movies.
Yeah, like the direct to DVD type of like home video thing,
like Sharknado type of shit.
Yep, they actually made Sharknado.
Yeah. There you go.
And like Snakes on a Train and the Da Vinci Treasure and Atlantic Rim. So they just like they take a premise and they just like make fun of it, like not make fun of it, but just like do it very low budget,
put their own twist on it. Yeah.
Yeah. They'll spend like, you know, I know back in the day they used to spend like barely anything. Like nowadays they have a little bit more money behind them. So, you know, but they're making movies, you know, like Transmorphers for like 5% of what the budget for Transformers is. And
Jesus,
whether they trick people or they're trying to like just recoup other stuff, they're making money off of all this crap. So once I found that out, it kind of made more sense. Like, you know, the Walking Dead.
Why
was
they're
big,
doing it.
So they made, so they made Z Nation and they just kind of like hype it up and it's like fucking crank everything to 11 and it just
type of stuff. You'll notice once you go through it, you'll start to notice like little things like how they do with the movies. Mm-hmm. It sounds like they kind of do with The Walking Dead a little bit.
I could see that.
Just as far as like, not like totally straight, like, oh, they did that, so they have that, but it's almost like this type of scenario and they have like this instead of that, but it's like kind of related, but not like really a ripoff.
Yeah, and but I feel like that plays into like the low budgetness of it too. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, totally.
The fact that they're taking shortcuts even with the writing, like it's just like, hey, they did this. Oh, let's totally. Fucking do that.
did you get introduced to the old guy Doc yet?
His name
just goes by Doc. It's like an old dude with like white hair.
There's an old dude with white hair that's usually driving.
A DeLorean?
No. This might be a different guy then. He was in it since like the beginning, so I don't think it's the same guy then. It must be someone else.
He's still in it now.
The last episode that I watched, they were in and around Philly, and there was like a compound with it was like kind of like a fake prostitution ring, but they would rob people. And then one of the girls like that they found was from there, and then they kidnapped someone, so they went to save her and
Oh, it was an Asian chick.
Yeah. And then cool scene because they're in and around Philly and someone had like the Liberty Bell on the back of a truck.
Dude, and it's rolling down the street.
Yeah, they steal the truck and then they like stop short with it or something like that. I don't remember how, but the bell goes flying and it like takes out like fucking 30 zombies. It's just like ding, ding, ding.
It's fucking starts. And you can see, I think you can see it like cracking too, which is kind of fucking funny.
Yeah.
It cracks even more.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's not like the best zombie thing ever, but it's a fun.
Oh, it's definitely entertaining. Yeah, it's entertaining. Yeah. That's for sure.
Yeah, like it's not.
It gets
don't
pretty
expect
good.
Anything great about it, but if you just want like mindless zombie like over the top type of shit. Like you'll mm-hmm. you'll enjoy it.
Oh, absolutely. So
is it like, but is it more like gruesome than Walking Dead since it's on Sci-Fi Channel? They can get away with more.
I would say no, just because it's so heavily CGI. There's not a whole lot of makeup. Okay. And I think that's the big difference is like so much of that budget for Walking Dead goes into making it look real, like with the prosthetics and with like the makeup stuff.
Yeah.
And with this, it's just like it's
generated like 90% spewing blood and
90%
stuff,
CGI. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah, it's pretty funny, almost like that hyper real kind of fake looking stuff. Cause it's really like kind of crappy CGI too. It's not like, it's almost like it, you know what it kind of feels like a video game.
Huh. Yeah. Totally.
Like that kind of violence.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like what was that one, zombie game? I don't remember what it was, but it was like, you were like in an arena or a mall or something like that.
Oh, Dead Rising.
Dead Rising. It's almost like Dead Rising-ish. Okay. Like that video game come to life type of stuff.
Oh, okay.
So
it's been a long time since I've watched Sci-Fi Channel.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know if they are more risky when it comes to like curse words or like blood and guts. Like
I think probably just the same. Yeah, it's pretty much just the same as like Walking Dead would be on AMC.
Yeah. Yeah, or like watching FX or something. It's like they'll throw the they'll say shit or something every now and again, but that's about it. You know what I mean? Nothing like too crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, Matt, what have you been up to?
Well, let's see. I went and saw Logan the other day.
Yeah, how was it?
The movie actually is really good.
I was
not expecting it to be as great as everyone was hyping it up to be.
Yeah.
That movie actually delivers, which I was very surprised by because all those, like the Marvel movies that Fox does, they're always like hit or miss.
Yeah, yeah.
This one, freaking, they knock it out of the park with this one.
Oh, yeah.
That's good.
It's crazy.
That's good.
I didn't even know they were making that movie until like a few weeks ago. I saw their preview. I was like, what the fuck is this? And I watched it. I was like, damn, that actually looks, I'd want to go see that in the theaters. I haven't seen like an X-Men movie or like a Wolverine, any of those new movies in probably 10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Most of those haven't been that great. The Days of the Future Past.
That one was good.
And then the one after that. What was the one after that?
Apocalypse. That was okay.
Was it? Was that the one that was there?
After Days of the Future Past? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I thought there was one in between those two.
No, there was, first it was The First Class and then Days of Future Past.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, I thought that Days of Future Past was the first one. But yeah, those two were really good. And Apocalypse was, it was all right.
Yeah,
it wasn't anything to write home about.
Watchable, yeah.
It had some parts that were kind of cool and some parts that were kind of shitty.
Yeah. But man, fucking this movie, I think they used the R rating like a little too much.
That was going to be my question. Was it like a little too over the top?
At some parts it was, but at some parts it wasn't. I feel like since this was like their first go at a rated R movie, like the first half of the movie was just like F word, like every five words it felt like from Logan. And
totally
like
taking advantage of it.
Yeah, like it's like, oh, we haven't done this yet. Let's have him cuss. Like you haven't heard him cuss yet.
So it kind of sucks. Like I hate when it's like cursing just for the sake of cursing.
Yeah,
like
that's what it kind
of
felt like.
It needs to have some kind of like impact. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like throughout the rest of the movie, I don't know if you just get used to it or if they actually kind of teeter off from curse words. But like, it gets really good. But same with the gore. Like the gore is fucking, it's crazy seeing it the first time because like the first scene in the movie cuts up like four or five guys like trying to steal his limo.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh shit, they're really fucking doing it. Like,
going for it.
Like, because you're crazy. So used to seeing all the X-Men movies where you see no blood at all. So it's like one extreme to the other. Which totally throws you off at first.
Even in like the comics and stuff, they don't, I mean, unless it's like a more adult themed version of it, like they don't really like push that gore thing, which is kind of ridiculous because, I mean, the dude's got
powers and sharp source,
fucking claws.
Yeah.
He's just slicing
powers are nobody bleeding.
Yeah. So that's kind of cool. And it'll be, I don't know if I'll see it in the theater. Maybe I will if it,
I don't know if it
down
like
the road or something, but.
I don't know if it's like a movie you'd have to see in the theaters kind of movie.
Yeah.
But I would definitely watch it. The movie is really good. I think it's probably Patrick Stewart's and Hugh Jackman's like best performance with those characters.
Oh, really?
There's actually a few times where you kind of like get choked up at some parts, which is really surprising. I would not expect any feelings to happen in this movie.
That's crazy. Did you ever read any of the Old Man Logan type of series comic books?
Yeah, I read the first series I haven't read like the ongoing one that's happening right now.
Okay. Is the tone like anything kind of like that, or is it more just like middle-aged Logan instead of old man Logan?
Yeah, it's like very loosely based off that original run. Gotcha. They can't use like any of the characters that are in it because they're all like Marvel Studio characters, like Red Skull.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Like there's no Hawkeye, of course, and there's no Hulk. Yes.
That kind of sucks. Like that's as much as like some of the Marvel movies aren't that great, like in my opinion, and like some of the Fox ones aren't that great. Like I really wish they would just combine their forces and just call it a fucking day. You know what I mean?
But like just do like a one movie. They don't have to make a whole franchise out of it. Just have
Just
Iron Man pop up once in a while, like in one movie or something.
Just be fucking cool with each other. Yeah.
Do like what Spider-Man's doing. Like,
exactly.
Like Sony's like, all right, we can't make a good movie, so we need some help.
Yeah. Fox needs to take a page out of fucking Sony's playbook.
Yeah. You stop being little bitches.
Being a bitch, Fox. That's cool. I've been interested in seeing that movie, but it's good to hear that it was enjoyable.
Yeah. And it's another thing. You don't have to like really see all the other movies to know what's going on in this one.
I feel like this one's kind of by itself.
Yeah, they kind of hinted at things in the past, but it doesn't. Mm-hmm. It's more of like an Easter egg. Like, oh, I caught that. Like what he said.
I got
that reference, but...
I kind of had that feeling going in that it was not necessarily like a standalone movie, but just definitely like it's in its own world type of thing.
Yeah. That kind of is like its own standalone movie.
Yeah. That's cool. I'll have to check it out.
Yeah.
I have to check it out. So the big news around this neck of the woods is I got the Nintendo Switch.
Oh, snap.
Which is pretty... It's pretty awesome. Besides, like, there's a little bit of technical flaws. I'll get that out of the way before I jump into it. There's a like the left joystick, the Joy-Con thing, unsyncs every now and again, and it's enough to be annoying, but not doesn't happen enough to like warrant me saying that the system sucks because of it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Like how many
like
times
it happens? Like if I'm playing, if I'm playing for like 2 hours, it might happen once.
Oh,
like,
okay, that's not too bad.
Yeah, it's not like too bad. And then I've had it happen like maybe twice in an hour once, and that was probably the most frequent, but for the most part it generally doesn't happen. And I almost think it's like the way I hold it, like I'm learning how to hold the controller better, because I've heard that people with bigger hands, like more adults that play with it, have more trouble than kids.
Makes sense.
So
like it's blocked.
I'm wondering
signal.
If there's like some sort of like weird signal or sensor or something that's being blocked or some bullshit. But funny. Either way, the controls work really well. They're joystick stuff, but they also have like the Wii Remote, like actuators and stuff in them. So there's some parts in the game where you can turn the controller certain ways and it's like motion.
That's cool.
Kind of responsive.
Uh-huh.
So like the only game I have for it is the Zelda Breath of the Wild, and it's fucking amazing. But yeah, like there's
10 out of 10.
Dude, it's so good. And like there's so like when you're shooting like an arrow or something, like you can use the joystick to aim.
Uh-huh.
And it's pretty responsive, but then like to fine tune, you can just move the joystick, like move the whole controller, and it goes at a much slower pace. So it's like way more accurate to like kind of fine tune and like shoot the arrow, which is really neat.
They ever do that in the other, like the Wii Zelda games?
Yeah. That's how you did it in that too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I never played those.
So it was very similar to that. So this is like incorporating it with like a controller rather than like the remote and stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
And there's even some like little puzzles. Where you remember, did you ever play that that marble game where it had the holes in the board and you had to like shift it around to get the ball like around like the maze? So they have like that in some of the mazes and like in some of the shrine
temples. Use your controller like that?
Yes, yeah, so you have to like use the controller as like a marble board thing to like balance out and stuff. But the game's it's crazy. Like it looks so good. It's like a mix of like it's like Wind Waker kind of like cel shading with like Ocarina of Time figures. Like, look, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So it's like a really cool mix. Like, Wind Waker was great. That was one of my favorite Zelda games.
Yeah, same here.
And this is like that times like a million. Like, everything about it is just, it's an open world kind of concept where there's not many limitations. Like, I haven't really found any limitations at all. Like, you know, sometimes like Grand Theft Auto or something, you're like, oh, I wish I could just climb up that building or I can do something.
Yeah.
Like, you can
do that.
The
bridge is closed.
Yeah. Like this, it's like, there's a fucking rock over there. I'm going to climb it. There's a, you know what I mean? Like you can climb anything. You can, like paraglide anywhere. You can find a little boat and just fucking go.
That's
like,
cool.
It's nuts. Like, it's like, it really feels like open world. Like, it's nuts.
Because weren't mostly all like the new Zelda games are open world based, weren't they?
Yeah, but there were, you know, like you ventured off and there wasn't really much going on.
Oh, okay.
You know, like you go off into the forest and one of the cool things is that there's a lot of animals and they're like, it's super, like everything about this game is just like really beautifully animated and done. Mm-hmm. And so like there's animals and you can hunt like with your bow and arrow and you collect meat and then you can eat that or you can cook it. Like, that's another crazy thing about this is you can grab whatever the fuck you want, like, find and throw it together and cook stuff. And then different combinations give you different things. Sometimes it'll give you, like, you know, 4 hearts and it'll give you, like, extra stamina boost, or it'll give you, like, like, if you eat spicy foods, it'll, like, make you...
Make a shit real good.
That'd be hilarious. But it makes you, like you can go to cold environments and not be affected by it. Like, shit like that, you know what I mean?
It turns up your body temperature.
It's really neat.
It's weird.
Yeah, totally. Crazy totally sweat. It messes with your body temperature. In fact, there's a body temperature gauge on the screen.
Oh, really?
So, it tells you, like, if you're, like, too hot or too cold, and it's nuts. And the cool thing is, like, you know, like, in those other Zelda games that were kind of open worldish, like, you still had to go like from A to B to C to D to E. Like on this one, you can literally just like right out the gate.
Oh, there's no order.
Like once you get past that first thing, it's like, oh, I want to go to that mountain. And you could just go. Like there might be creatures over there that'll mess you up, but you can go and explore and do all these crazy things without having to like tell, like having been told to like, hey, go to this mountain. Like it's not blocked off until like you open that part of the game or something. Yeah, it's just like,
unless you talk to someone first.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like, it's completely, it's crazy. But it kind of reminds me of like Red Dead Redemption a little bit.
Oh, okay.
Like in but like cranked up. Like everything that you could do in that and wanted to do more of, like you can do it. I mean, obviously it's like Zelda based rather than, you know, the Western world, but it's cool. The controls are cool, the graphics are fun. That game's, it's crazy good. Like I was expecting just a fun little Zelda game and it kind of blows that shit out of the water. It's kind of nuts.
Is there like role-playing things to it?
What do you mean?
Like you can level up your character tree by like, once you get the bow and arrow, you can do this. Once you get the grappling hook, you can do that. Or
there's a little bit of that, like just like in the old Zelda, like you get more hearts as you go along, so you get more life. And then there's like a stamina meter, and you can build that up. So like at first, like you can run for like maybe 5 seconds and then you get burnt out.
Yeah.
So you can build that up so you can run longer. You can climb higher, shit like that. And then
standard Zelda stuff.
Yeah, the horses are cool because there's like wild horses all around. So you can just grab a horse and go. Like you don't have to have your own horse. Which is kind of neat. Yeah. You can rely on some. I think that you can collect like up to 4 and keep them at stables.
Oh, that's cool.
But you have to like break them every time and it's kind of neat. And then the weapons in the game, as far as like I am in the game, they wear out. So you break a sword and then you have to get a new one. So there's different levels of like weapons. Like, you know, this one does 15 damage. That one does 30 damage type of thing.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of neat. And it kind of sucks when you have like a badass sword and then it fucking goes to shit and you have to like, oh man, that was my favorite sword.
Oh man.
Right in my favorite jacket.
Yeah, it's my favorite jacket, man.
Can you repair them or like once they?
No,
once they're done, they're
fucking done. Yeah. I was kind of hoping.
I feel like you should be able to like sharpen it or something.
Yeah, especially with like the sword ones. Like,
yeah.
I should have a fucking like blacksmith or something that could fix it.
Totally. Yeah, that'd be cool.
But I haven't found that yet, or I don't know if that exists yet. No. But I'm assuming that there's more durable swords too that maybe you can do that with, like. Just like in all the standard Zelda games, like the Master Sword and shit like that. I'm assuming that's going to come along sometime.
Yeah, sure. I hope that doesn't break.
Yeah, seriously,
that
right?
Break everyone's hearts. The Master Sword never breaks.
Is the Switch itself, like, is that the one where it's like a mobile thing, but you can also like plug it into a TV?
Yeah.
Is that the same? Is that like the console? Okay.
Yeah. So it's like, it's got like a dock that's hooked up with HDMI and everything. Like that's how it charges and all that. And so you slide like, it's basically like a tablet. You slide that in and then you play it wirelessly on the TV type of thing. Or you can take it off and the controller slide into the sides and it's like that's playing right. with a giant.
Oh, it's like a Game like, Boy tablet. Thing or something, right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, almost like a Game Boy PSP type of thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's like the Wii U.
Yeah. I was hoping that there'd be other like demo games on it.
Yeah, it sucked that 1-2 Switch game didn't come with the system.
Yeah, I kind of wish it did. Or at least if it was cheaper, because it's like $50.
Really?
So, yeah, damn. Which kind of sucks.
Yeah, it sucks. It should be like 30.
Like, yeah, if it was $30, I'd own it already. But at 50, I'm like holding off. I'll wait till I get tired of dicking around in Zelda.
First.
Yeah. Maybe I can pick it up used or something. Mm-hmm. But there was only one game with a demo. It's this game called Snipper Clips, which is like a weird... It's a fun little game. You can use like co-op. Me and Jen were playing it. Like, you're like kind of like these pieces of paper, and you can cut each other like with scissors type of thing and make shapes out of each other. And then it's kind of like Scribble Knots a little bit, like where you're on a level and you have to like get like pop a balloon type of thing, and you have to figure out a way to pop the balloon.
Oh, okay. Little puzzle solving game.
Yeah. But the demo was cool, but the only thing that sucked about it was like a $20 download. And I was just like, if it was like $5, I'd own it and be playing it. If it was $10, I'd probably would have thought about it and probably would have bought it.
Yeah.
But at $20, I'm like, it just didn't seem like something that's like that fun to be like spending $20 on.
Nintendo's a little outrageous, the price and stuff with all their controllers and shit.
Yeah. That's crazy. That's the only thing that bums me out about it. But
it's like $80 for a pro controller.
Yeah.
For the Switch?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's crazy.
What's the difference between like what comes with it and the pro?
The pro's like a single controller.
It's like your standard Xbox, PlayStation controller looking thing.
Yeah.
Is it wireless or anything?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They barely make corded controllers anymore for systems.
For charging.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's wireless and it's like a single controller. Where the ones that come with it, it's basically like two mini controllers.
You have to like attach them?
That attach to like a grip.
Gotcha.
They just kind of slide in and click. And It works out pretty good. It's, you know, like I said, with the exception of the weird connectivity stuff that happens every now and again, they feel pretty good in your hand. Hmm. So, and even like when we were playing that Snipperclips game, like with we each had a controller, like it felt pretty good too. Like they felt a little small, but not to the point where it's like detrimental. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
Do you have that? That connectivity issue when it's on that grip thing too, or is it only when it's on the little screen, the little LCD?
Oh, when it's on the screen, there's no problems at all. It's it's only when it's in the grip.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, which is weird.
Yeah,
but it's cool. I was not apprehensive about like getting it because I didn't have a Wii U, but I really wanted to play the new Zelda game, so I was like, oh fuck it, I'll just get it. And I was like, not worried, but you know, I was like, am I really going to buy a system for one game? And right now I'm not regretting it at all. That game's fucking amazing.
Well, you made the right choice without not getting the Wii U.
Yeah.
I bought that just for Mario Kart 8, and that's the only game. Well, I bought like one more game for it, and I've never played it since.
They did another Wii system?
10 times.
You should ship it to me because I want to play that Zombie U game, and then I'll ship it back to you.
Why don't... I don't have that game for Wii U. I have it for PlayStation 4.
I could buy it.
I'm sure you can find it.
I've seen it used for like $5.
Oh, what's the Wii U? There's a new Wii?
It was basically the successor to the Wii.
Yeah.
Oh, weird.
It was kind of like a little bit more powerful than the Wii. And it came with like a new controller. It still had the remotes and the nunchuck and stuff. Uh-huh. But it had like a tablet controller as well.
Yeah.
Its own screen.
Yeah, it's like the baby version of the Switch.
Yeah, yeah.
That's crazy.
It's almost kind of like, do you know the Nintendo, the DSs where they had the two screens?
Oh, yeah.
It kind of played like that sometimes, like where the one screen would have something on it, and then you'd look at the TV and it'd have another thing going on.
That's fucking weird.
But yeah. I heard that sometimes it worked really well and it was awesome, and then other times it was just like a waste.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah,
it's like a feature no developer really cared to try and be creative with.
Yeah, which sucks because it is a kind of a really interesting concept.
Yeah,
like if it was utilized kind of correctly, you know what I mean.
Mm.
But yeah, you were playing a game. You were talking about where you met. Was it Horizon something?
Yeah, I got the new PS4 game called Horizon Zero Dawn.
Zero dong.
Zero dongs.
Zero dongs in this game because you're
a girl. Zero dong.
But after you talking about Zelda, this is pretty much the girl version of Zelda for PlayStation.
The girl version as in like just a girl character?
You're just a girl character, yeah.
Or like you're a little it's all flowers little. And stuff.
It's the cutesy Zelda PS4 game. But yeah, it's like the same kind of thing. It's a big open world game. Mm-hmm. You're a female protagonist with a bow and arrow. Mm-hmm. But the thing on this, instead of like beasts and stuff, you're fighting like robot dinosaurs and animals, which is pretty cool.
fuck?
Sounds cool.
Like there's robot deer, robot goats, robot T-Rexes, robot fucking brachiosauruses.
She's not a robot, is she?
No, she's a human. Like, so this game kind of like, it takes place like 1,000 years from now. So okay. Like our civilization kind of goes to shit. I don't know why yet. I'm only like halfway through the game. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you're just fighting these big ass robots and you're, all the humans are kind of like in tribes, like they're kind of like cavemen, but they talk normal, but they're just like down to bare bones. Yeah. They don't have like buildings or houses or anything. You're just living in like teepees and huts and shit.
Crazy.
Yeah. And log cabins.
Yeah. So it's kind of like Terminator, but a little happier.
Kind of. Yeah. It's like trying to fight a Terminator with a fucking twig and string.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but you do get to upgrade all your weapons and stuff where you're not.
Oh, that's cool.
You have like no chance.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I would hope so. Yeah. Otherwise, humanity is going
down.
Do
you do like missions or something, or you just kind of just roam around?
No, well, there's like a main storyline, and then there's a bunch of side missions you could do. There's little errand missions you can do, like kind of like you go fetch something for
points or something. Yeah.
Yeah, like this character's like, I lost my baby. Can you go find my baby or some bullshit? And you go run out, find it, bring it back, kind of thing.
Is everyone Italian?
It's for the baby.
It's for my baby.
No, but you get like, there is like currency in this game. I think they're called, it's like metal shards or some shit. So like that's okay. What you use to trade and buy stuff from merchants.
It sounds like a pretty standard adventure open world type of game.
Pretty much.
That's cool.
But the game looks awesome.
Is it exclusive to PlayStation?
Yeah, it's only on PlayStation.
Son of a bitch, man.
Gotta get a PS4, baby.
Yeah. Is it PS4 or is it, did you say it was PlayStation, the PSP?
No, it's only on PlayStation 4.
Oh, okay. For some reason, I heard PSP and I was like,
yeah.
I didn't know you played PSP.
No, you make that no more.
Yeah.
You got the Vita. You could like remote play on your Vita or the PC now, which is kind of cool.
Oh, really?
I've done that before with, I played Dead Rising off the laptop. Like it's a little sluggish because it's all, you know, it's all streaming kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not bad. Pretty fun.
That's neat. Well, that's neat.
I wouldn't recommend it to play that way from now on, but
it's fun to wouldn't recommend it. With it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what's funny about the Switch. Like, I didn't really see myself playing it handheld that much, but sometimes I'm just like, yeah, I feel like laying in bed and playing, and I'll just do it, and I've done it more often than I thought that I would so far, which is kind of surprising. Like, I was totally like, I'm not going to do that, but I did, and it's nice, so...
That's funny. I was like the opposite. I went and got that PlayStation Vita because that's like their handheld system. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be awesome. I'm going to play it in bed when like if Jen's watching TV, I'll fucking start playing it. I never fucking play with that thing.
Like, I wonder if it's just a lack of like games or if it's like,
I think it's
like
just,
what it is.
Just not big on handhelds, I guess. Like, I just love sitting on a couch with a big TV playing video games.
And which is funny because that's how I was too. But this one, I think just because it's like, the way that it's set up, like it's kind of like a decent size screen and it's like fit for that. And I don't know what it is. And maybe because you're playing with the same controls as you would on the TV.
Yeah.
So it like feels more like it. But yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I was surprised that I enjoyed playing it handheld so much.
Yeah.
But other than that, I watched this movie called Operator. It's on Netflix. It stars Martin Starr and Mae Whitman. She's one of these girls that if you saw her, you'd be like, oh, I've seen her in something. Because I don't know what I've seen her in, but I know I've seen her in stuff.
Yeah.
But, But the Operator is, it's kind of like it's an interesting movie. Basically, Martin Starr, who, I love Martin Starr. He was in Freaks and Geeks, and he's in a lot of Apatow stuff, and he's in Silicon Valley.
The guy with the glasses.
Yeah, the Satanist.
Yeah. Silicon Valley is awesome.
Silicon Valley is probably my favorite show on television.
That's coming out soon, isn't it? The new season?
I hope so.
It comes out in April.
That show is, I love that show so bad. It's so ridiculous. But so he's in it, and usually whatever he's in, I'll check out just because I like him, not only as like a comedic actor, but he's like a solid actor too. And so he created this, I wouldn't want to say like futuristic because it's like kind of set in like modern times, but like maybe like a little bit, maybe like a year or two ahead, because he developed this health app that's got like robotic AI, like answering machine, kind of like Siri type of thing, like taking over for like a receptionist type of thing instead of like calling and whatever and saying like, hey, you know, I,
like when you call your bank now.
Yeah. So, so they're looking for the actress, like the voice actress, and then it turns out that his wife is an actual receptionist at a hotel, I guess, and she's really good at diffusing situations, and somehow it comes up where they're like, hey, we should get her to do it, so they do, and it's kind of like this rift of like between the two of them like working together, and then Joe, who's Martin Starr's character, kind of like breaks down and obsesses over the app rather than like paying attention to like the real world that's going around him. And he's got like these weird, like kind of not messed up in the head type of thing, but he's a little weird in the head. And he just kind of becomes like obsessive compulsive about like fixing stuff. And because it's his wife, like he gets even more obsessed about it because it's her voice, and like all this weird stuff kind of goes on. And it's kind of interesting. Martin Starr is really good in it. He's got this weird way of giving like characters like kind of heart and soul. Like, I don't know if you watched Freaks and Geeks, but he was probably my favorite character on that show, just because of like
one season show ever.
Yeah. Like the depth of the character that he gave that was just like really interesting to me as like a kid. You know what I mean?
Was he the super duper like lanky nerdy one?
Yes.
Yeah, like the kind of nasally glasses.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Yeah. He's got the really big oversized glasses.
I never seen that dude in anything else before. Really. Oh, well, I guess he was in, what the fuck is that movie where
he's in a ton of stuff?
He's in Knocked Up.
That's what. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yep, that's cool. Yep. Yeah, that's right.
He had the beard. Okay. Yeah, he was in This Is the End. He was in that movie Adventureland. I don't know if you saw that.
Oh yeah. Duh. Okay, I have then. Yeah.
He's good in that.
That movie's great.
Yeah. He's one of those people that he's never usually like a leading guy, but he's always like
he's like a friend of someone that's leading.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's always in the background or something.
Yeah, he's usually pretty good in it. But it was interesting. Not the best movie ever, but worth a watch. It's streaming on Netflix. It's not going to cost you anything to watch it if you got a Netflix account.
What's it called?
Operator.
Operator. Okay.
Operator.
Smooth operator.
Operator. All right. It's time for some music. There's a new before we get to our review of the new Minus the Bear album, Voids. There's a new single out. Narwhals has a new album coming out in May, and that's Narwhals, G-N-A-R, Wolves, one word, called Outsiders, and they debuted a song called Wires. It's up on YouTube right now. They're a three-piece, like, punk, pop-punkish type of band from England. They released a bunch of EPs. I think they have one other full-length, so this will be their second full-length. It's a pretty good song. Not their best, in my opinion, but it makes me excited about the new album. I'm most excited just about the production. Generally, they released stuff that was kind of had this raw, kind of like old school punk feel to it, where it was very like low budget, lo-fi type of stuff. And it's just like never made sense to me. Dude, it's like, dude, it's fucking 2016, 2017. You can get a better recording than this, you know what I mean? And this one finally like gets that mix of like it's still got that raw energy and stuff, but it just sounds better. So I was hoping that their last full length would do that, because before that it was just like a couple of like 3 or 4 song EPs that they put out, and then I was like, oh well, for their full length they should have really good sound. And I was like, nope, same type of shit. So
what label are they on? Like a decent label?
Their last full length was put out on Pure Noise.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
And then this one, I don't know what it's put. It's not on Pure Noise. It's something else. I I don't know off the top of my head. I don't know what it is, but they usually like dual release it. Like there's usually like a British release and then a US release. So it's like two different labels kind of release it at the same time.
Okay.
So, yes.
I don't think I've ever listened to them before.
They're good. Like I like their old, like this song didn't have as much of it, but, some of their old stuff just, they seem like they grab from a lot of different kind of subgenres of like punk, you know what I mean?
Okay.
Where, and it kind of works. Like there's a couple songs where it's just like, it'll come out the gate really fast and like straight up pop punkish, like, you know, like Fat Records type of stuff. Uh-huh. And then out of nowhere, it'll like go into this like cool, like Pixies kind of fucking weird explosions in the sky type of like breakdown. And it's the just fuck? Like, oh, that's weird. You know what I mean?
It's bizarre.
But it works. You know what I mean? And the dude's got a cool, he's got a cool voice. I don't know how to really explain it. It's kind of aggressive, like yelly, but he can still kind of sing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's. I thought they were like a raspier punk band for some reason.
Yeah, like
maybe I'm not. It's maybe their older stuff is. I'm getting confused with somebody
like,
else.
Like yes
know.
And no. That's what I kind of mean. Okay. Like they can go there and do that type of sound, but they can also kind of do this other stuff too. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So it's kind of interesting. Just a different type of like they pull from a lot of different things, which is kind of neat.
But, that's cool.
But that song's pretty cool. Check it out. Makes me excited about that new album. So that'll be cool. And then, Sean, you were saying that the new Darkest Hour is out or streaming.
Yeah.
Not necessarily out yet.
Yeah, it's streaming. I think it's streaming on their SoundCloud.
SoundCloud.
I don't think it's on like alternate alt press or anything like AP.com or anything yet.
No, it was on.
I think it's just straight SoundCloud.
It was on Vice, like the only place I found it was on Vice's noisy thing, but it was like a SoundCloud stream.
Yeah, that's what Lambgoat had too, posted on there.
Yeah.
And just like the little capture of it, but it's really good. I listened to it once through, and then I've heard a couple of the other songs that they released prior to that, but it's so fucking good. Oh my God.
Yeah, it's. I listened to it once through this today too, and I was...
It's different. Like you really wouldn't expect it being a Darkest Hour album. At all.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not
minus the vocals.
Or a bad way.
Yeah. It's it's like, it's more, I think it's like heavier than their older stuff.
Yeah. It's not as in a different way.
Yeah. It's not like riffier or like, it's not as riffy, but it's just like overall, just like heavier. They recorded it. I'm pretty sure at God City with Kurt Ballou. Okay. So I think that's why it sounds super like,
it's got
more
like
sledgier sounding. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, it's fucking cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I only listened to a couple songs on it so far, so.
Yeah, what'd you think?
How were they? You went and saw them, like, recently.
Yeah, you saw them the other night. How was the show?
We just saw them. The show was really good.
Hell yeah.
Okay, there's three other bands before, which I can't remember. Was it Ringworm?
Rotten Sound. Yep. Did you see Rotten Sound? And did you watch them?
I watched all three of them.
Oh, yeah.
They're okay.
Yeah, they're fucking gnarly. They're from Finland. They're fucking super grindy.
Yeah, it's funny whenever he was talking in between. Everyone's just like looking around like, what did you say?
What the fuck are you talking about? they're from Finland.
He's got like a heavy accent.
Yeah. Ringworm is like, bleh, I've seen them. I never listened to them. I saw them live a few years ago for the first time. I'm like, this is probably going to be awful. And it wasn't as awful as I thought it was going to be, but it's still not good.
their singer. Man, I swear he was about to blow out the PA speakers. He was doing like pterodactyl screams like the whole fucking time. It was going to blow my eardrums out.
Yeah, he's like a kind of a heavier set dude too.
Yeah.
He's just like big.
Oh, really? That's funny. I would not have guessed that.
He's kind of like short, but he's like fucking wide. Like he's not like fat or anything. He's just like a fucking short, solid dude. It's crazy.
Kind of reminds me of, you guys have seen From Dusk Till Dawn, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know that mariachi band that's playing at the bar with the long hair?
Yeah, dude. Totally.
He kind of looks like him.
Totally does. Yep. Cause he's kind of tan. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's funny.
So I was thinking like the whole time while he was up there. Like, and he just needs a dead body with a leg for the stem of the guitar. And
maybe some teeth or something.
Like, where the fuck are the vampires at?
That's funny.
Oh man, that's funny. Yeah.
Did they play a lot of older songs?
Nah, they played like that. I posted that one little short clip on Instagram.
Associated.
That was the only song they played. No, that was on Mark of Judas.
Okay.
Oh yeah, that's
the
right.
The only one they played from that. They didn't play any Associated songs.
Jesus really?
Christ.
They played, that's crazy.
I'm sure they played some Hidden Nation. Hands. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Hands.
They did, what was that? Probably Thousand. It's that fucking one album from that.
The fucking self-titled album, probably.
No, it was like 1,000 Lakes. What is that song called?
Under the Sea?
Under the Sea.
A 1,000 Lakes Under the Sea.
But it was mostly newer stuff, though. They didn't play too much old stuff.
Just kind of a bummer.
I never listened to anything past Hidden Hands, and I thought that album had like 2 good songs on it.
Well, did Undoing Ruin come after that?
Yeah, I wasn't too big on that.
Yeah, me neither, but I listened to it.
Yeah, I think I might have once over. That's about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sucks. They've been around for what? Since like 2002, so.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
I'm sure they're probably pretty burned out at old shit. So that's what sucks about seeing old bands.
I just hope that, I feel like someday they're going to have to do like a Mark of Judas anniversary or a So Sedated anniversary tour and just play those songs. They got to. Everybody else is doing it.
Fucking everyone else is doing it.
It's a little late for So Sedated. That was 2002.
Mark of Judas was before that.
That was 2000.
Yeah, Mark of Judas was fucking crazy. Like 99-ish.
Yeah, I guess I should have done that like 2 years ago.
Deliver Us was 2007, so they could do a 10-year on that one.
Nah.
Deliver Us. That one wasn't that great
either. Yeah.
Oh, well. Yeah, well, I'm sure we'll review that new Darkest Hour album. Yeah. What's it called? Godless something? Godless Prophets?
Something about...
It's like a weird name.
Yeah, something about heathens or something like that. I don't know. Heathens. Godless heathens? Hold on. I'll look it up right now. Hold on. It's like Godless Heathens and the Flora something or other.
Godless Prophets and Migrant Flora.
That's it, yeah.
Fucking big cup of bullshit is what it is.
I like the cover art, though. It's really nice.
Yeah. I almost bought a poster. Yeah.
It's really pretty.
I almost bought a poster.
You should have.
I almost did. Well, I wanted to, but I was like, this is going to get all fucked up because we were going to be treating afterwards. So.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to risk it. afterwards, I'll do buy one.
How is the beauty bar these days? Is that place still like, I didn't know that was still operating.
Such like a shithole nowadays. And bartenders are just like little fat slob girls. And
fat slob girls.
There's nothing beauty about it.
It's a goddamn shithole back then,
that's,
man.
Yeah, that's
like
true.
Back in the day.
Yeah, that's true.
They don't really care about it anymore.
It's weird because I feel like that whole area around them down there, downtown Vegas, is like completely spruced up. And I feel like they would have either done the same thing or, I don't know.
They should have
or went out of business.
Yeah, I'm actually surprised they're still around.
Seriously.
Yeah. Quite honest.
Crazy.
Yeah, I haven't been down there in a long time.
Yeah.
Oh, well,
all right. Let's get to the homework section. So Matt informed us that Minus the Bear has a new album. What's it called? Voids, right?
Voids.
Voids.
Yeah. Voids. Voids.
Menos el Oso.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So what'd you think, Matt, being this your choice?
Yeah, I'd say Minus the Bear is probably one of my favorite bands. Probably like top 5, top 3 maybe?
Yeah.
All right.
But I think I just had my hopes up like really high on this because they haven't had an album in like the last 5 years. I think
they did one like
came out 2012.
Dude, they had another one after that.
Was it that old? Jeez.
They put out a couple like compilations. Yeah, that bunch of like Lost.
Yeah, it was like B-sides.
B-sides and unreleased tracks, which is actually really good.
I listened to that the other day for the first time. It was really good. Yeah,
that was pretty decent. Because there's a couple songs that like were unreleased on there that were pretty good too.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd say I listen to that more often than their other stuff. But I don't know. I guess my hopes were just set too high. So once I heard it, I was like, nah, this is okay. Like,
yeah,
it's not.
Like, I listened to it a bunch of times. Like the more I listen to it, like I like it more, but still not as great as like their last couple albums.
It's a good like background music album.
Yeah,
I was gonna say the same thing.
Yeah,
yep.
There's a couple songs that stood out that were like, oh, this song is jamming, and they're mostly like the singles that they released.
Yeah, yes.
Like the Invisible song is really good. I don't know why that's probably my favorite song on the album.
I wasn't too crazy about that song.
I don't know why. I don't know if it's just like the chorus or something, but it's just like this is a catchier song on the album. Yeah.
I feel like it was like almost a badass song. Like there was parts of it that were just kind of boring, but then there's like really cool little like interesting like guitar parts here and there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the majority of that song was just like a miss for me outside of like a couple of little highlights.
Yeah.
I'd say a majority of all the songs.
I was going to say, that's essentially like fucking story of the album.
Like they start good and it's like, oh, I didn't really go where I was thinking it would. And it's just not as like catchy as their other ones. Or
I liked Infinity Overhead. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
Me too. Me too.
I liked Omni a lot too.
Yeah.
Omni was great. Super dancey, like disco-y. It was weird. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see, I don't like any of Minus the Bear.
Yeah, I knew. I knew you never liked like on their old stuff back in their day too.
But I really, really, really like Infinity Overhead.
It's a good album.
I really like that album. Yeah. And this, like, it's kind of similar, but not
like,
as good.
It's like a downtone version of it.
It's like the half-assed version of it. It's exactly. Like, you know what I mean? It lacks like that catchy power pop kind of chorus.
Yeah, what they're known for.
Infinity Overhead, like every song had it. Pretty much, minus like maybe one or two songs, and this one there was maybe like three or four songs that had that, and Infinity, like so much of that album I want to sing along to it, and this one they're like I listened to it I guess like three and a half times through, and nothing really makes me want to like sing out loud, like sing along to it, you know what I mean?
It doesn't make you SOL.
No, it doesn't make me SOL at all.
Sing out loud, dude. Come on.
Something?
No, I just made it up.
It's like shit out of luck. What?
It's from Ranks for Nothing, you know?
Yeah. Where was I?
No, SOL.
SOL. Sing out loud.
Oh, shit.
Remember that, kids.
So, like, yeah, remember that one. Spread it around the high school kids. But there's a couple tracks. Yeah, and there's a couple songs that are just like boring ass, like soft rock songs. Like, that are just like that. I really didn't like Call the Cops or like What About the Boat song.
Yeah.
They're just like
pretty weird.
Like these are fucking filler songs. Fucking get rid of this shit.
Yeah.
Like some of it had like almost like a Coldplay feel to it. It was just like kind of weird. The complete opposite of like how they used to be, where it used to be just like kind of all over the place and dancing and upbeat.
Yeah.
And these ones are just like boring. Like
it's like they're giving
even
up.
The choruses didn't feel like choruses. You know what I mean?
Like the songs just like keep going. Like they're just monotone throughout the whole.
Yeah. Like it's almost like they're interludes. Like they should be like a minute or two long, but they're like fucking 5.5 minutes of just like boring.
Yeah. I feel like they're like either getting, they're like getting less electronic-y or they're just like using it in like a different way, which is like kind of going against them.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah.
Hard to explain.
But there was I did not like how they ended the album. That song Lighthouse.
That's all right.
The majority of that song was decent, and then there's that weird fucking like kind of techno thing that comes out of like nowhere.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Yep. And it just sounds like way out of place, and there's like if it was more like 8-bit sounding, it would sound like you're fucking playing Contra. Like, it was just like super weird. But I thought that like, because that was a long song too. It was almost like it was like five and a half minutes or something.
Yeah,
like
a couple 5-minute ones on here.
Yeah, like for like four minutes of that, I was like, yeah, this is a decent song. And then like it just flips and it's just like, I don't remember how the melody goes, but it's just like super techno-y. And like even the drum tone sound changes, and it sounds like super like 8-bit, and it's just like it's really weird. I just thought that was like a odd way to end the album, especially when there's like no other touches of that on the album. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like it was just a little, it felt a little out of place.
Yeah.
But there's a couple songs that I really liked. The first song, Last Kiss, was good.
Yeah, see, that's one of the singles that they released.
Yeah.
That's the first track, right? That's the first track, right?
That's the first song.
Yeah, that one's really good too, yeah.
I can't see what I used to know.
That one had a good chorus. That one, I think, out of most of the songs on the album, that one reminded me the most of like Infinity Overhead
style. Yeah. Yep.
You know what I mean? Where it was like a good catchy verse, and then it just built and built and built, and it had like that good like kind of power chorus that built a little bit more and kind of fell apart, or not fell apart, but you know, dispersed the way a song kind of should, like the way their song should. But yeah, there's a couple good songs. That song Silver was probably one of my favorite songs on the album.
Yeah, that one was. That was the longest one too. That's almost 6 minutes.
Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't realize it.
But it was good. Like it was a well-rounded song. Like it hit like the notes that it should hit. You know what I mean? It had like those dynamics to it that work really well. Yeah. But there's a couple other ones. Tame Beasts and Robotic Heart. Yeah. Robotic Heart was all right. Not like the best, but it was decent.
Yeah. Same with like Erase. Erase was okay, but
yeah. I was half in, half out on Erase.
Talking about this whole album.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Just sucks. I was just looking forward to this one. Just like, oh man, I gotta wait another 5 years or 3 years, because they usually put one out every 3 years. So
yeah, I hate when shit like that happens.
Yeah,
when shit's just like a letdown. It's a giant bummer. But I do feel like this album might be one of those like grower albums. Like the more you listen to it, the more you kind of appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like I don't think it'll ever be as I don't think it'll ever be as good as like Affinity Overhead in my ranking list. Mm-hmm. But it's not like I'll never listen to this album again though. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Did you not like that full length, the Menno Celoso full length?
Honestly, I might have listened to a couple of songs.
You might like that one if you go back to it. Because I listened to that the other night and I was like, oh, I fucking forgot about this album. Holy shit.
Yeah.
And I think that was part of their like turning point of like from highly refined pirates into like that newer sounding stuff.
Kind of made a turn.
Then I might have to check that out. Yeah, so much of what I didn't like about their old stuff was just like it was so dancey. Like every beat.
Love
like
it.
Every drum beat was like the same throughout the whole album.
Totally.
It just kind of annoyed the shit out of me.
It was like weird off timing stuff in between, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still, Highly Refined Pirates is still my favorite.
It's so catchy, though. Yeah. I love it.
It's so
dude,
damn good.
I went back and I haven't listened to it in a while. One of our favorite releases that I like is the fucking Beer Commercials EP.
Yeah.
Dude, that EP is so good. Oh, my God. I think that came out after...
2004. That was after... Or no, it was before...
Menos. Okay, I thought so. Yeah, the EP was in between there. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah, that EP is fucking awesome. I love that shit.
I remember hearing a couple songs off of that, and it wasn't terrible. It wasn't bad.
That one is like the pretty. I remember pretty electronic-y.
I think Nick Whalen really liked that one.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Or he liked one of those. Maybe it was that other one that you mentioned. But either way, he was really into them, so I listened to them with him sometimes.
Yeah, I could see that. Speaking of just random oddball stuff, did you ever get around to listening to that Acceptance album?
Fuck, no,
I totally forgot.
Yeah, dude, fuck. Listen to that shit.
Send me a fucking text tomorrow and I'll do it at work.
Yeah.
I completely forgot about it.
If you like some part of like the Infinite Overhead type of Minus the Bear, you might like, you probably might like the fucking New Acceptance.
Okay.
I feel like you would. Cool. Or at least one of you will. I got a 50-50 shot. That just reminded me because you said it's like one of those albums that will grow on you, and I feel like the Acceptance album is pretty much like the same thing.
Gotcha.
It's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, I gotta make a reminder about that.
Yeah, do that.
Yeah, seriously. Do it on my phone or some shit. But yeah, is it like, is it a bad album? No. But I just don't really, don't like particularly like it a whole lot.
Not great.
You know?
But if
it's
like good.
One of the middle of the road albums.
Yeah, if you're having some people over, throw some music on the background, sure, add it to the playlist.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not terrible. Yeah. It's decent music. That's what they should have called it. Minus the Bear. Decent music.
This one's aight.
It's aight.
The Decent Bear.
Sounds like he's got like Down syndrome or something.
The Decent Bear.
He's
the Decent Bear.
He's not very aggressive and he's not real sleepy. He's just kind of decent.
He really likes to eat pumpkins.
Oh, good.
He doesn't like the fish because he can't catch them.
He just eats blueberries all day.
He's got no protein.
It's like fucking shoveling them in.
Oh, shit.
The Decent Bear. Well, think that's where we need to close this episode. Yeah.
End it off on a good note, fellas. All right. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, guys.
See you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.